I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio, and I welcome my colleague and friend, Sebastian Gorka, of his radio program, America First, in the nation's capital, across the nation, to comment on the politics of the moment for the new Biden administration. But it's really the politics of the old Trump administration as well. It has to do with border security and the ambition of lots and lots of very deprived people who all need our attention all the time and sympathy and mercy. Lots of people believing that in order to get into the United States, they have to show up at the border and cross without documents or cross to say that they are seeking refuge from persecution. It's a tangle of legislation and mandates and regulations over many decades. Joe Biden campaigned on the basis of saying that Donald Trump's policy was unacceptable. Well, here we are early in the administration. And Seb, a very good evening to you. I give one factoid. 92,000 detained by the authorities in February along the border. 92,000. The most since early 2019, and we can believe it will climb. Is this the Biden administration's expectations? Did they know this is the signal they were giving during the campaign season? Good evening to you, Seb.
Good evening, John. They were very clear about the message. We have multiple video clips, audio clips of candidate Biden saying it's just wrong to have the border closed and that we will allow unfettered entry of those seeking asylum. But no, it is absolutely clear now that they had no idea what the ringing of the dinner gong would result in, because they've had to activate FEMA. Now let's look at the middle letter there, E for emergency. The fact that FEMA is being deployed to the border, the fact that they've had to also deploy the DHS reserve elements, the volunteer force, means that they were caught totally unprepared. And let me give you one more data point. And this is perhaps the most outrageous of all. The current figure, I just saw it today, 565 unaccompanied minors are crossing illegally into America every single day. 565 children, unaccompanied by their parents, children who have been on walking for months in some cases, and who are being handled, being trafficked by the coyotes. So this is truly the Biden administration's first crisis, and they were caught totally unprepared.
I want to tell one story I have from a colleague of mine, Seb, about a young family, two children and mom. He met in Colombia, along the Colombia-Panama border, the so-called Darien Gap, the Darien Jungle. They had been traveling for years, originally from Haiti. They spent time in Chile, but now they wanted to join the father, who may or may not be in Mexico or America. I lost that detail. But they were leaving Colombia, walking through the Darien Gap, which is filled with marauders and drug lords and people who act badly, and guerrilla forces. They were walking through there, having paid money to get that far from Chile to Bogota, bus to the border, and they hoped to get through to Panama City, and then they were going to continue their journey north to the American border. I tell that story because it's not just about the triangle, which we know has been the source of many of these thousands of people desperate to get into America. That's El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. These are people who've been on a two-year pilgrimage from Haiti to Chile to Colombia and now to Panama into Mexico. We can multiply that by the thousands of people who believe that if they reach the American border, they'll be safe. And Seb, it's a heartbreaking story. It means that they've been misled by people who take their money and they will arrive with no hope.
It is truly heartbreaking, and as the child of people who were real refugees, not in the economic sense, but fleeing for their lives from a communist dictatorship, this is, if you will, at least to a certain extent, personal for me. But all kinds of people are exploiting it. The fact that we see photographs every day of hundreds of people wearing T-shirts that say, "Let us in, Biden." Well, hang on a second, John. who's making those T-shirts? Who's paying for those T-shirts? Who's providing them? And when you talk to people who are, because they're retired, because CBP has been gagged, former officers and leaders for the Customs and Border Protection Service, when they say the only people who are profiting from this, literally and in geopolitical ways, are the cartels, you realize that there's just a moral component to this story, John, that is utterly tragic.
And Mr. Biden, to your measure, does his administration have a remedy? They've talked about comprehensive immigration reform, but Seb, that is that's the Moby Dick of policy in Washington. You're going to chase that for years if you ever find it. So, do they have an interim measure? Can they get control of the border after their loose rhetoric?
If they do, they're hiding it incredibly well. When Secretary Mayorkas and a delegation went to the border, they shut out any press access. Why would you do that if it's not a crisis? They're denying it's a crisis. And on top of that, we had the statement just this week from the president himself that he has no plans to visit the border. 565 unaccompanied children crossing every single day. FEMA deployed, the volunteer backup service of DHS deployed, but the president doesn't think it's important. If they have a plan, they're hiding it very, very well.
The Trump administration did have a plan, and it was to, in some way, enfranchise the three countries in the triangle where many of the people in the caravan come from, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. It was also to get the cooperation of Mexico so that people who had reached the border and seeking refuge would remain in Mexico until their cases or their files were reviewed. I believe that's all in abeyance. Is that right, Seb? All those programs have been set aside.
Day one or day two, they were shut down. Catch and release is back. If you talk off the record to officers of ICE or CBP, they will tell you they no longer function. It's as if we don't have those services. Why? Because through fiat, through executive order, they are not being permitted to do the job they swore to do when they put on that badge and that Sam Brown belt the first day they were given their federal credentials. So no, it's as if we no longer have those services. And on top of that, we have the unbelievably short-sighted fact that they are not even testing the illegal immigrants coming into our country for COVID. So whether it's the unfettered illegal immigration or whether it's going to be the spikes of the COVID virus, this is a crisis whichever way you look at it.
At the same time, we have to deal with legislation that directed by the Democratic progressives. First, the stimulus package, $1.9 trillion, and I forget my numbers, how much of it is going to be spent after 2022, how much of it has to do with the virus, how much with everything else. It's generally understood as a grant to Democratic mayors and states and states that have been in arrears. But, Seb, we know about the $1.9 trillion. There's talk of an infrastructure bill, and I believe they're going to move that as quickly as possible. Is there endorsement for the infrastructure bill for even more spending of the federal government, or is this Nancy Pelosi pleasing her most left followers?
Well, let's talk about the numbers for a second. So $1.9 trillion, on top of the fact that $1 trillion from the last COVID, real COVID bill, hasn't been spent to date. On top of that, 91% of the $1.9 trillion has nothing to do with the Chinese virus, with the coronavirus. You're right. As I asked Jason Chaffetz, a former chairman of the Oversight Committee, on my show today, is this simply a vehicle for buying off those who donated to the last campaign and to save the bankrupt Democrat states? And former chairman Chaffetz said, yep, Seb, that's basically the extent of this package. With regards to the future ones, Nancy's already said it this week. She's made statements that, the $1.9 trillion hasn't even been paid out, and she's already planning the next one and the infrastructure bill. Whether she can make it happen with all the negative feedback that's already occurring, especially for Democrats along the border, I cannot predict, but her path is set as we speak.
And the filibuster. You notice that comes up after the spending because they can see, the Democrats can see, and this is clever, they can see that moving the Dream for legislature is going to require either 60 votes or upsetting the filibuster in some fashion. Now, there's some fancy talk of a movie called Mr. Smith Goes to Washington with Jimmy Stewart. It's a wonderful movie. And the end of it is, not to ruin it for people, but Claude Rains doesn't survive the end of the movie. All right, fine. But in any event, the romantic idea is to reintroduce the filibuster, the talking filibuster, so that you can't just register your negativity by not showing up at the Senate that day. Does that have purchase, Seb? Is that the way they're going to charm the American people to believe the filibuster is unnecessary?
That I can't answer, but I can give you the latest update from the swamp as of just a few hours ago. So very disturbing news that there are plans, there are plots to do away with the filibuster on the one hand, so that that chatter is increasing, whilst Manchin has reiterated that he refuses to kowtow to Pelosi and be part of that subversion of Capitol Hill. So at the moment, everything to play for, John.
Sebastian Gorka, he is the host of America First across the nation. We're going to turn to foreign policy next, which is what Seb and I were trained to do. First Iran, and then China. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.